We're in Luke chapter 2 tonight. I'm going to bring a brief challenge to you, continuing kind of where we left off on Sunday, focusing specifically tonight on the shepherds. Have you ever wondered why God chose to deliver the message of the coming of Jesus Christ to the shepherds? I want you to think with me for just a moment. The shepherds were looked down upon by the religious class. They were not allowed to worship. They were considered to be unclean. Because of the fact that they were with their flocks and they did not follow the meticulous hand washings that were required and rules and regulations that the Pharisees had put into place, they were not able to worship as other people were. The shepherds were looked down upon as very common people. Even so, their dedication was recognized by whom? By God Almighty. I mentioned on Sunday that perhaps these shepherds were tending to the flocks that were given to the temple, that were sold to the people who went to give their offerings at the temple. They had morning and evening sacrifices. And so they were constantly bringing in more sheep. They had to be tended to. They had to be kept from being blemished or hurt, because the requirement was that they were to bring animals that were without spot and without blemish. And so these shepherds cared for them. They protected the flocks. God revealed His secret to these shepherds for probably a variety of reasons. One, they were tending to the flocks that would be used in the sacrifice. They understood and knew what was required of them, how they were to shield the flocks from being wounded by wild animals, how they were to protect them at night so they wouldn't wander off. You know, having to lay at the door of a sheepfold was not a fun job. I don't know about you, I've had a crick in my neck for the last 2 days. I don't know, I slept wrong. I don't know if it was my way I had my head on the pillow. When I got up and my head was like this, and I did all kinds of manipulations getting my head back, and I've had this crick in my neck for the last 2 days. Now that's sleeping on a nice mattress. Can you imagine sleeping on the ground and you're the door of a sheepfold? All night long. Quiet down, Bertha. Trying to sleep over here. And then one come up there and try to nudge. You know, that one sheep that will not go lay down is up and moving around, coming up there, brushing up against the shepherd. Maybe it's his favorite lamb. Waking him up. Lay down. Go back to sleep. I'm trying to get some sleep. I was out walking all day long, taking you out to the pasture, and you're waking me up at night. They were the door of the sheepfold. Maybe it was that occupation of tending lambs. You know, the Lord calls us lambs. And He is called by three different names. The Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and what's the third one? The Chief Shepherd. Three different titles that He's given there in the Word of God. And of course we have that beautiful Psalm, Psalm 23, that describes the glorious nature of our Shepherd. He doesn't lead us by roaring waters. Where does He take us? Still waters. He takes us to green pastures. It has the luscious green grass that the sheep would love to dine on. God provides everything we need because He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd. And so that comparison is pictured here. The Lord chose to give the message of the angels to these shepherds. And what did they do with that message? Oh, how different those shepherds are than most people in churches today. They took the message and they ran with it. I want you to see this tonight. Verse 15 through verse 20 of our passage that we looked at on Sunday. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Now notice, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now folks, I want you to understand and know that the Bible is rich with words. We see our English translation, and sometimes we've read this passage so many times at Christmas. Sometimes people can say, "I know that from memory, Pastor Brainerd." But I want you to consider the words tonight that are used here. "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Now this word, this thought here, this phrase here is the idea of urgency. They are urgent. and their desire to go. We've heard the message. Let's act on the message. How many times does the Word of God come forth from His Bible to your ears and it stops right there? And it reaches no further than just the ear gate and that's it. Can you remember last Sunday's message? Can you remember what we preached on a week ago when Pastor Watt was here on Wednesday night? You remember his text? I'm not going to ask for you to come back. Some of you, I can see it right now. What did he preach on? What did he preach on? Okay. What book of the Bible was he in? Yeah, that's our human mind, right? We can't remember what happened a week ago, what passage he was in. And I have to admit to you, sometimes, even I, as I go through, I said, did I cover that verse before? What message did I bring last year at this time? Now, I keep folders every year of all my sermons are in there. I have folders of it, but I have a Christmas folder. And sometimes my Christmas folder, all my messages that I preached over nearly 30 years of Christmas messages, I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of Christmas folders. I said, did I preach this passage last year? And sometimes I can't honestly remember because I may have forgotten to date it or whatever. And I say, I'll just pray that it'll be a blessing and help to the people if I've preached this before. I try to vary it up each year. I try to do different things whenever I come to it. But sometimes you forget. That's just being human, right? Let me tell you something. God's Word is rich. Feeding on God's Word is the difference between going to McDonald's, if you feed on this world's roughage, and going to Jackson's downtown in Pensacola. I mean, that's a fancy restaurant. When you walk in there, you're going into a fancy restaurant. If you go down to some of these expensive places that they have in New York City or in Atlanta or these big cities, in Chicago even. We were hearing about Chicago-style pizza the other day. I mean, when you eat Chicago-style pizza, Mr. O'Pager, it's not like going down to Little Caesars, is it? It's not even a comparison. They got electric ovens down there. Yeah, see, you can't do Chicago-style pizza with electric ovens. You got to have a brick oven, all right? It's got wood underneath, and they get it up to the right temperature, and they're constantly in there with their wood board. They're pulling it out, checking on it, pushing it back in. They don't do that at Little Caesars. They've got that electric oven, and they shove it in there, and it's on a chain going through there with the other 15 pizzas that are in there, and then it spits it out on the other end, and they take it, stuff it in a box real quick, and out the door it goes, $5. Okay? You can't get one piece of Chicago pizza for $5, right? You get what you pay for, all right? Now, I can remember the Lunch Bunch got so excited a few years ago. There was a restaurant that opened up on Highway 90, New York-style pizza. Remember that? It was you probably don't because it was only open for like 4 or 5 months. New York-style pizza. Everybody got excited. Guess what? Electric oven. Just can't make New York-style pizza in an electric oven. And they went out of business. We predicted it, didn't we? They said it was not going to stay open very long. Because people look at that and they say, you don't have the right equipment to be able to produce it. Don't put the name up there if you're not going to have the right equipment. It makes a big difference. And how it's cooked. And how it tastes. And all that good stuff. Listen, when you feed on the Word of God, you'll never be disappointed. But some people don't feed. They just kind of rush through. All right? Listen, we need to feed on the Word of God. There's some rich terms here as we consider these shepherds here. They acted immediately on the Word of God. Notice this. Let us now even go unto Bethlehem, a sense of urgency, and see. Eidon is the Greek word there. And it means to search out. It means to search with the eye. Have you ever lost something? We made homemade compasses last week in our history class. We've been studying Lewis and Clark. And so the 4-H Club helped us out, and they gave us all kinds of stuff to make homemade compasses. We were showing them how to magnetize a needle, and you put a leaf on top of a cup of water, and you lay the needle inside the little crack of the leaf there, and that thing always turns and points what direction? North, all right? And the kids were like, whoa, that is so neat how that does it every time. And everybody said, mine did it too! Everybody's used to their science experiments not working. Have you ever tried to do the volcano thing, you know what I'm talking about. until the last minute, and then it blows up and gets the whole house nasty and whatever. Well, we made some homemade compasses doing that, and then we watched a few videos. I wanted them to learn how to use a compass. You know, a lot of kids today, they don't get outside to learn how to do anything. So we went outside and we charted using our compasses, all right? I want you to chart such and such degree. And I want you to tell me where you end up. And so we did different points and on the compass and so forth like that. And some of the kids, Mr. Brainerd, this is really neat. Yeah, and it's not a smartphone. It's just a compass. They've had those around for 500-600 years. And they were just, their jaw dropped down as we were looking at, they had 10 different compasses. They were showing the fancy ones that they give to the SEAL Team 6 group, and then they were showing the really simple ones and all this kind of stuff and how you're supposed to use them and the mirror type ones that you can use and chart your place and know exactly where you're supposed to go. Now, let me tell you something. When you identify with what's said and what's shown, it means something. These shepherds identified with the message. They didn't go say, well, that was really neat. That'll probably never happen again. All right, let's go back to shepherding. We got that over with. Good Presbyterians, I'm glad that's over with. You know, and go on about our business. Let me tell you something. They acted on the Word of God. Do you act on the Word of God? When the Word of God is given, do you take action with it? They did. They heard the words. Now unto you is born this day in the city of David. They knew exactly where that was. That's Bethlehem. They respond. Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see. Search out with the eye. My point with my compass was the importance of the eye. When you sight down on a compass, you've got to be looking. And then you have to set your degree, whatever you're going to do, in order to be able to navigate and what direction you need to go in order to be able to get to the destination that you want to go to. You have to search with the eye. And they said, let us go searching for that one that was promised that we've been told about. Not only that, notice this please. Which the Lord hath made known unto us. That word known there is the word gnosis. Revelation. Something's been revealed to us. Now this is my point with this. Have you ever been given a really juicy tidbit of news? Okay? You hear about a sale going on. You see somebody post something on Facebook. Great sale going on right now at Kohl's. Here's a code to get 50% off. Okay? Wow, that's great news. I'm looking for deals. What do you do with it? You got the information? It's been revealed to you. Now, I can sit there and ooh and ah all day long at 50% discount. Man, that is a great discount. Hey, look! 50% off at Kohl's. And I go around and tell everybody in the whole world and I never make it to Kohl's. What good is the coupon if you don't what? Use it! Now let's make the comparison. I think you can see where I'm going with it. I use very simple illustrations, as you know, because I'm a very simple person. Alright? We can walk around and ooh and awe at the Word of God. But if you don't act on it, it means nothing. You can have all kinds of knowledge up here, but if you don't live it, and you don't breathe it, and it's not part of your life, then it's all for naught. I was talking today, we were in the car talking about it, and I said, you know, we were talking about Matthew 7. And I said, isn't it interesting? In Matthew 7, 21, it tells about those who are confronted by God at the great white throne judgment. Everyone mentioned in that passage of Scripture is completely shocked that they're not in heaven. And they cry out to God and said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done wonderful works in your name? And he says to them, depart from me. What's the next phrase? Ye workers of iniquity. I never knew. Religious people that knew the Bible and they thought they were doing wonderful things for God. They're completely shocked at that moment. Now that's an eye-opening thing. These shepherds acted upon the Word of God. They wanted to go see if what the angel said was true. How about you? Let's make the application. How about us? Is it just words going in our ear, or are we living and breathing the Bible? The shepherds said, we're going to act. We are going to search out. And I want you to see what they found. Look down, please. Verse 16. And they came with haste. We get our word speed from the Greek word. Spudo is the Greek word. And spudo means haste, hurry. All right? They hurried and, what's the next word? Found. They hurried and found. Now, how did they know where to go? They were not given specific instructions as to where they were. It said, behold, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now remember, Bethlehem was not that big. It was a tiny little village. So they began, they ran, and they searched out and found, and this is interesting in the Greek language, before each one of these words found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Only the one in front of the babe, the article the is translated, but before Mary and before Joseph is the article the or the. Let me read it that way. And they came with haste, with speed, and found the Mary and the Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, why is the appearance of the article significant? I will never forget my Greek teacher in college. He said, you're going to live and die by the article. I know. You say, which article, sir? We're talking about the Greek article. It said, the Bible is very specific. What news did the angels give? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they found the Mary and the Joseph, the ones they were to find, and the babe lying in a manger. In other words, God's Word was 100% what? Accurate. Just exactly as the angels had said, they found the Mary, the Joseph, and the babe. Not some generic, any couple would do. No, not a whatever Mary or whatever Joseph. They found the exact ones that the angels told them about. And they came away, the Bible says, rejoicing. They came away rejoicing. And when they had seen it, they made known, again there's that word, they spread abroad the revelation, the saying which was told to them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Not only did they act on the Word of God, but they shared the Word of God. Not only are we to act immediately upon God's Word, folks, but like I mentioned before, we got into our study tonight. We've got to share the Word of God. Don't sit on it like a hen on an egg. When Chris had chickens, they'd go on vacation, and my daughter would come back over to the house and said, I can't get this hen to get up so I can get the eggs. All right? I said, well, push her off. Or reach up underneath her and grab her. Well, I'm afraid she's going to peck. Would you come help me, Daddy? Okay, amen. So I went over there, and I went over to the, I said, well, which one is it? There were like three of them, and they're sitting. And I said, well, I got the eggs from those two, I think. And so I just reached up underneath there, and I grabbed the eggs out. And I said, that's how you do it. Well, she didn't peck you, Daddy. I said, no. You got to reach in there and pull them out. Some people get the Word of God, and they just sit on it. Sit on the Word of God. Share the Word of God. You can't enjoy the egg until you go get it and fry it up. It's sitting underneath the hen does not give you an egg breakfast. You can think about it. Boy, there's some good eggs out there. You got to act on it, and you got to share it. That I think, is the meaning by why God shared this with us about the shepherds. It's not a cute Christmas story that makes for good plays. It's acting upon the Word of God and sharing it with others. The shepherds were the evangelists of Christmas. Who are the evangelists for Christmas? Well, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But God's people. God's people are the evangelists. Are you going to sit on the gospel this Christmas time? Or are you going to share it? Maybe you've already acted on it. You have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, that's wonderful. But that's not enough. You've got to share it. And that's exactly what the shepherds did. They went abroad and people wondered at the news that the shepherds gave them. Oh, how we need to point others to Christ at this Christmas time. Would you, by God's grace, minister to somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ at this Christmas time? People are thinking about Christmas. And what's the first letters of Christmas? Christ. We need to share Him at this Christmas time.